That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun.
We are your supreme crit justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly, crawling his way back into our bad graces. That's right, Jay Kerwitz.
I'm not even in the bad graces yet.
The bailiff. You're not
you're
even,
not even in any graces.
You're not in any graces.
I have
dude.
No grace.
You gotta crawl before.
Yeah, I have to beg for grace. I can't believe that.
Yeah, we have this limbo stick for a reason, and we want you to crawl under it. It gets lower and lower each time.
I will crawl on the ground.
It's a little performance for the entire court.
I will squeal like a pig. I will beg for grace. What is it gonna take?
All right, now you're just making me feel bad.
No.
Sorry, Mark,
I'll do anything you want.
Yeah, we already installed this limbo pole.
Shit, you're not making this fun. He loves it.
Stop touching your nipples, Bailiff.
He wants no grace.
With that, why don't we throw to the bailiff? I always feel like I want to say, just because now we only do these once a month, it always feels like so long since we've
done it.
I know. It really does feel like, I was just thinking that.
Well, great news, everybody. Okay. Well, hear ye, crit is now in session. The honorable supreme crit justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. And our first case comes from Ethan. To the most honorable bailiff Jacob, the hottie Hurwitz. Wow, I didn't choose this one first on purpose.
What the fuck, dude?
Leading off with it, too.
Ethan, he took his shirt off. He's doing the limbo. Losing,
he's filthy on the ground.
Those three other nerds. Oh, and then actually, parentheses, just kidding. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me or punish Jake on my behalf. So there you go.
Okay, you're back.
I submit the case of sound effect shenanigans.
Okay.
I run a homebrew campaign where I'll occasionally use a sound effect board for in-game things like swords clashing.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Recently, the players have started using soundboards also.
Yeah.
They played a sad trombone sound, wah, wah, when a character died, loud and wet fart sounds frequently during otherwise high-stakes character moments. Yeah. The players seem to be having fun with it, but I'm starting to feel all I can do is be a punchline to a fart joke.
Yeah.
Can I keep the fun of soundboards and stop that feeling? Have I opened Pandora's beatbox and now it's too late?
Wow. Oh my God, so hard.
We've had a similar question.
Second soundboard case.
Yeah.
Soundboards are wreaking havoc. I love how it's evolving. This new technology is festive.
We had the accidental sad trombone sound.
The quote unquote accidental sad trombone. I don't know if I buy that.
Debatable, yeah.
Still. I don't remember what my take was at the time, but from what I remember, I'm like, how am I?
I've either grown stronger or flip-flopped, either one.
I don't know.
My heart breaks for you in this case.
Yeah.
Because I just feel, I am trying to be logical about it, but I just want to emotionally respond. You're right, they're wrong.
Yeah. We've talked about this stuff before, but like when you beat a dead horse like this and when you keep making the same joke over and over again, it's just not going to be funny.
There's always the compliment that these people are having fun and you're the one creating that fun space, and ultimately they're enjoying having fun with you. So it's not actually,
they're quite literally
it's not an insult.
They're shitting
on
the DM.
I understand that, but I don't want you to have to feel
they're
like
shitting
this
on the DM.
Yeah,
they're shooting,
I think so.
Actual poop particles. Yeah,
maybe they think you like it. Maybe they think you like it.
Like, imagine delivering a speech that you had written at like midnight the night before for your bad guy, and then just like somebody presses a button, wet fart, everyone cracks.
Oh my God.
It would be really funny the first time.
Funny.
And then
maybe, I want to think that this is going to run its course, is the thing.
Yes, that's what I'm trying
to. The problem is that it does get funny again.
That's
true. It
gets
funny again.
For instance.
And people will keep trying until it gets funny again, which means there's going to be a lot of times that it's not funny.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of variations you can do. Like, instead of swords clashing, you can do like butts clashing. For like a sword battle, and
that's amazing.
Like your asses are hitting and farting every time.
Yeah, so I think you're trying to solve a problem that wasn't brought to us.
Hearing you describe it is much more funny than the actual sound.
Right.
Hearing you describe quote butts fighting is much better than any sound anyone could make.
So yeah,
I mean, look. You guys shit on my...
Could you punch a butt so hard that it farts? You probably could,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You definitely could punch a stomach so hard that it farts.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like you punch like one
I feel
cheek.
Like that's happened to me. I've like walked really hard into the subway turnstile and farted.
Definitely, dude.
Oh, yeah. Certainly.
The worst is when you're in high school or something and your friend like pushes you or punches you or something and you were like holding in a fart so you let down your defense and you reflexively fart and then
don't.
You have to beg your friends not to make a big deal about it. That didn't happen. That did
the
not
worst
happen.
Feeling.
The classic,
worst feeling.
The classic, I demand to live this down immediately. Yeah.
It's funny how like double-sided farts can be in high school where it's like either the funniest thing or the most embarrassing thing. There's no in between.
You have to be so high status to be able to own it.
Yeah.
And I was not there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are not there. There's very few people are so strong that they can just rip one and be proud of it in a group
everyone
of strangers or acquaintances.
And I feel like the older we get, the less likely it's going to happen again.
Yeah, true. It's definitely true. But anyway, going back to this case, it deflates the situation. It's a literal shitty thing to do to the DM. And I think my advice to you, first off, I'm on your side. I think this sucks.
Yeah, I'm on your side, too.
It makes the funny moments less funny when there's no rhythm to your session. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, if you can't take a break to be sincere, then the funny moments aren't going to be funny. The sincere moments aren't going to be sincere.
You won't build that tension to relieve with a joke.
Yeah, exactly. All of it is just shit. There's never any tension. It's all just farting around. It's if you fart during a serious moment, your whole session is fucking farts.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. My first suggestion is that it's possible that you sound so wonderfully patient. And it's
deeply.
Possible that you are being so nice that they think you like it as much as them.
Yeah, maybe.
And you're not. So maybe a first step might be, I don't even know how you bring that up.
It's an impossible situation to be like, hey guys, stop having fun.
We need a fucking hacker to come in and hack their soundboard.
Yeah.
We're not doing soundboards anymore. I think the easiest way is to take it away for everybody.
That might,
can
it
you
might
give
make it
everyone,
feel like you're a parent reprimanding people,
I know.
Though. That might not go over.
But
great.
Could you do it though in like a fun curmudgeon way? Put on like your Murph hat where you're like, I'm laying down the rules, but everyone knows I'm still having fun.
Yeah.
Could you do it like spell slots? You only have so many sound.
That's very
sound
funny.
Slots
it's like a luck
session.
Point, but you can just like you have one fart.
better be
so funny.
One fart for the
yeah. That's a funny way to deal with it, session. But then they are going to just save it for the most serious part.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's you know what this is. Maybe, I don't know, this is maybe a little bit malicious advice, but I think it's fun.
Have some.
I think that. Maybe what I would do is if people were pulling this shit on me is I would just be like, if you make the fart sound, your character just ripped ass in that situation. So if you're talking to the king or something, you go up to them, you rip ass in front of them. King goes, okay, I don't want to talk to you. Walks away. That's how NPCs react to you.
That's a really good solution. I'm going to present a bad one so yours looks better.
Great.
You should tie the fart button to a number on the dice. So whenever you roll like a 3, that's the fart number. I guess it would probably be 2. What's the fart number? Because 2 is shit. 1 is piss.
Oh, wait, wouldn't 1 be shit and then 2 would be piss? No. But I'm saying that if we look logically, what is it rolling a nat 1 in your pants? It's probably shitting your
probably
pants.
Probably shitting your pants, yeah.
This is getting confusing.
I rolled a nat 1 by going number 2.
Yeah.
Maybe, all right, I'm trying to think about which number. Oh, probably 8, because that kind of looks like a little cloud. So maybe that's
like
when you roll an 8, you get to fart. You get to do the fart button.
I think Caldwell, you actually may have accidentally stumbled on something. What? I actually think
impossible.
I actually think it wouldn't be a bad idea to be like,
what?
Hey guys, can we keep it within the role play? So like if you roll a persuasion check of like a 5 or less,
yeah,
go nuts on the fart machine if you want. Like you fart during the scene. That's fine. You already have made a bad impression or whatever.
Wow.
Because, you know, I don't know. There could be an out for that. And typically when someone has a bad persuasion check, that often does lead to some kind of humor or something. Yeah. And that way you're not taking away, you know, an epic moment or something like that. Although, you know, it could still not work out. I would just have the NPC walk away anytime they fart.
Okay, so yeah. if they get a 1, they shit themselves. If it's a 2, they piss themselves. 3, probably cum, right? We're all going to say cum. Okay.
We were all going to say
it. Maybe 1 is cum.
These numbers are too confusing.
I need to go number 1.
We'll workshop it.
I need to rub 1 out. Okay. That's what going number 1 means.
It's so logical.
We've been.
I need to go number 1.
Peeing has been number 1 for way too long. Saying I need to go number 1 and meaning I need to go cum is insane. And I can't abide this. You know what? We've got the perfect punishment, though.
Okay.
Butt fighting.
Right. You have to butt fight your friends.
Sure. Yeah. I wasn't going to say you had to butt fight your friends. I was going to say your friends have to change their ordering of the pee poop numbers, and number 1 for them is now coming.
Right.
And they have to explain that every time.
1 is coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd be like, oh, can I use your bathroom? Don't worry. I'm just going number 1.
Yeah.
Or they say, don't worry. I'm just going number 3. And then you say, what do you mean? Oh, because to me, number 1 is coming. I love to come. Because
you're doing that solo. It's one person doing that, and you're looking out for number 1.
This is true. Right. This
also, when you're also during lovemaking, you have to be like, I'm going to go number 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to go number 1.
I'm
going
to go number 1. Oh, shit. I'm wanting. I'm wanting. Yeah, because 1 is for cum and 3 is for pee.
Yeah,
that's still perfect. We fixed
it. 2 is for poo, 3 is for pee. 2 is for poo, 3 is for...
Yes! Hey, guys, this is really important. Just a quick reminder, just a little health update. Always make sure you go number 3 after you 1.
Yeah.
That is good advice.
It's good advice.
Otherwise, we're going to be stocking up on cranberry.
We solved Ethan's problem, and we solved another problem that society didn't even know.
Uh-huh.
So everyone, please, please.
Please, switch 1 at 1 and 3.
Switch 1 and 3, everybody.
1 has come, 2 is food.
And actually,
spread it out.
Switch 1 and 3, and actually so ordered on that.
So ordered. Wow. So ordered.
Okay.
So ordered.
So ordered. There it is.
And the players, as the punishment, have to be the ones to explain to everybody.
They have to be ambassadors of the new numbering.
They have to be ambassadors.
You have to get on the news. Yeah. Hand out pamphlets.
You have to get on the news as an advocate for switching number 1 and number 3.
And you have to vehemently correct people whenever
you
get it
wrong.
Yeah,
you have to be passionate.
Hey, no, what is cum, buddy?
I didn't get on the news for this.
I didn't get on the news to be pushed around.
I didn't go on the fucking Today Show for this.
2 means poo. I was curse. On the news.
You can't curse on the Today Show.
Hoda was so confused.
Okay. So that's all ordered then. That's all happening.
Security escorted me from Kelly and Michael's. Wait, what is that? Isn't that Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan?
I don't know.
I
don't know if they're still together, but
it's going to be a full media blitz, is what we're saying.
Yeah,
they'll be on the Sunday shows.
They'll be there.
Okay, Derek S. writes, to my dearest, most beloved friends, with an asterisk.
Aww.
The asterisk says, friends includes honorable judges Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, and should no way be misconstrued as to include the lowly bailiff.
Get on the floor.
He's not even
with
in our bad graces.
With an asterisk.
Yeah, dude, I fucking love it.
You got clowned on in a footnote.
Shit, he loves it.
Yeah, dude, clown on me. Don't give me grace. Whilst my brother and his betrothed were visiting, I was attempting to teach them how D&D works and how dice decide what the outcome is. As it was approaching dinner time, our party was stuck between 2 options: Red Robin or Texas Roadhouse. There is no Applebee's or Ruby Tuesdays. Please forgive me, but our options were limited. Okay,
let's talk this out. Well, actually, I guess finish the question. Sorry. Sorry for interrupting.
Sure.
Murph heard a food chain.
I heard a food chain, and I was like, Murph, let's talk between the
discuss
two.
Food Move chain.
On. You must recuse yourself.
Moving on.
The man
moving
has on. The suburbs running through his veins.
Moving on.
Take me to the mall. I was born moving, in the suburbs.
Moving on.
Three of us wanted Texas Roadhouse, but my brother's fiance desired the honey mustard that can only be found at Red Robin.
Ah.
In the spirit of helping them understand the game, we left it up to the dice.
Oh,
one
beautiful.
Through five, Texas Roadhouse. 6 through 20, Red Robin. I wanted to give the fiance a good chance at success.
That's okay, great. That makes sense statistically.
We rolled a natural 4. I then explained sometimes a generous DM will grant advantage and how that worked and allowed a second roll.
No, bullshit.
No. You wanted your Texas That's Roadhouse and you.
Shout out to the two crew.
This is a confession.
Okay.
It is kind of. She then proclaimed, I don't like this game. And we ended up at Red Robin anyway. Judges. Okay. Were we wrong to forsake the dice in order to please our guest, or should we have stuck by the dice's decision despite the fact that this was technically not a D&D game? I humbly await your judgment and just punishment.
Did they play D&D afterward, or was that it? Was that like game over, fully worth
it? Yeah, the question here is, judges, were we wrong to forsake the dice in order to please our guest, or should we have stuck by the dice's decision despite the fact
this
was technically not a D&D game?
You truly waited it. For the,
mm-hmm.
the one person that wanted
the
other
one
thing.
Person wanted one thing and everyone else wanted another thing and made the odds in that one person's favor and then the dice just weighed in twice.
Yeah,
in
and favor they learned that sometimes yeah. D&D is cruel.
Consensus.
Yeah. I think what you did was you created the smallest possible one shot, which is you choose one. There's one choice, and that was all the taste of D&D that this person needed to be like, no, thank you. Yeah. I want to eat dinner and then leave.
There's precedent here to not roll for dinner. We got another case where somebody rolled everybody's Chinese
food. Yeah. Never I was roll gonna for say dinner. Is I think that like people if they're hungry. They really can't be reasonable.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Also, I think it's bothering me just my obsessive tendencies with like linking the mechanics so that they make sense and stuff. The idea of there being four people, three of them voting for Texas Roadhouse mm-hmm. and one of them wanting Red Robin and yeah, doing the three quarters in the one direction and the one quarter in the other direction.
Nice.
I know, but it's driving me nuts.
Right.
I know I'm the crazy
person. You were
person.
Far too kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been to a Texas Roadhouse.
They rule.
They rule. What they
I don't
got.
Think I have been to one either.
They're great. They've got
barbecue,
this cinnamon apple butter that you put on the bread.
Oh yeah.
So
are
good.
You ready wow. to talk about food chains now? You got really excited.
Oh, we're leaving that in? Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying I would have also voted for Texas Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. Although you know what, Texas Roadhouse, that one was a little bit rare for me. We didn't have one in my hometown. We have a Red Robin in my mall. So
yeah.
Maybe it's flipped there. Maybe Red Robin's a little more special. You got the endless fries there, bottomless fries. That's pretty sick. They got some great burgers. So
this is just a note for everybody listening. We cut 30 minutes of our talking about restaurants.
Yeah,
this
what
is really
heard.
A win. This is a win for everyone, no matter how you shape
so
it.
So deeply edited down.
Yeah. I guess my big question, the big question that remains is, does Texas Roadhouse have like a little jingle? The Red Robin yum is so good.
Yeah, that is good. Mm. I don't know.
What is it?
Red Robin yum.
Oh, okay.
There's
that's
a little harmonizing
nice.
On it.
It's,
yeah, it's really
I wouldn't
nice.
Mind a wet fart right at the end.
Yes.
If we can workshop that a little bit.
I mean, it would be kind of a good advertisement for a restaurant.
It's true. You're going to fart. Whichever restaurant you choose, it's going to make you fart.
What restaurant would have the gall, have the huevos to do a wet fart?
Why would you want
to
elicit farts
be so
before
good.
You eat? Yeah. It would have to be so good.
Okay, here's the thing.
It would have to be undeniable.
Guys,
it can only be the chalupa.
Fellow justices, if the Sonic Boys were up in their car munching down on chili cheese pups,
and
if they
farting?
Were eating the chili cheese pups and farting, to be like, oh man, these pups are so good, I don't mind the farts. I'm going next day. I'm getting a cherry limeade. I'm getting a bag.
I think
full
you
of
just want to go to Sonic already.
Yeah, I really do want to go to Sonic now. It's
from
been a while.
Hearing you guys talk, it makes me realize I mostly eat microwaved food.
But what if you drove in your car to get microwave food?
Interesting prospect. It sounds harder.
It
you know,
is.
You know what I will say? I'll give a little fun anecdote for when you're trying to, because again, we've talked about how rolling is terrible for choosing food. It's never a good thing. Here's
don't
a
roll
good,
for dinner.
And also,
don't roll for dinner. Sometimes have rolls for dinner.
Have
don't
rolls for
roll
dinner.
For dinner.
Another oh, great saying.
Have rolls pre-dinner. Yeah, yeah. And actually, you can get that apple cinnamon butter on the rolls.
Rolls with dinner, not for dinner.
But I will say that also sometimes just voting isn't great either because sometimes people are really passionate. Like this person really wanted the betrothed. Really wanted that hunt, really wanted a specific thing from Red Robin. And the other people were probably just like, Texas Roadhouse. So I went on a trip one time with Kevin Corrigan from College Humor fame,
shout
old
out
friend.
To Kevin.
Yeah. And we had a system, it was like a couple of us, where it was like a survey where whenever we were deciding if we wanted to do something or not, it was strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it was worth like 2 points in the positive direction if you strongly agree.
Okay.
So be like, I want to walk down to this thing. No, I want to grab a taxi. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I could walk. I don't really want to, so I'll disagree. Well, I strongly agree that I want to walk because I want to save the money. And it was just like, it solved every argument, every debate instantly.
Don't
just,
you think that point there value. Are some personalities that would bulldoze that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a Kevin Corrigan or Brian Murphy who strongly agree and strongly disagree about most things.
I think I'm pretty reasonable.
I feel like you could game that system. You'd have to play with somebody as honest as Kevin.
Yeah. I think, though, you wouldn't be friends with somebody that was just going to, like,
that's
bulldoze
true.
You and boss you around. So I think, in general, it works.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have to sentence someone here. Look, this was this
fiance,
person's
right?
first exposure, but, yeah, I got to go for the fiance.
Saying, I don't like this game.
It's just
it's
saying
so funny.
I don't like this game. Like, uh-huh. First off, you're the fiance. You got to kiss a little ass.
True,
yeah,
true.
Dude.
You know?
That's true. Yeah, you're so not like, even officially in the family yet. You're on your way there. This is an audition dinner.
Exactly.
A rehearsal dinner.
I feel like you can just go get Red Robin later. Like,
really?
You could just, like, you can suck it up and have the apple cinnamon butter and then just, like, go get Red Robin on your own time.
Well, Caldwell, I don't know that anyone's going to go to 2 chain restaurants in one night.
I'm not saying in the same night. But also, like, D&D, I feel like this is also a cardinal sin of this situation. Mm-hmm. Is like they should have gotten the order in. They should have known where they were going beforehand. You got to like, people are showing up hungry to this. You got to like know.
Yeah,
you have to
yeah.
have like the order going or you have to have the restaurant picked out.
I think you do the strongly agree, disagree mm-hmm. system.
So yeah.
That's the way you go. You don't, you eat rolls, you don't roll for food.
I feel like we have to side with the DM here because like they put in the effort. They like
you
tried
did.
To make it fun. They tried so hard mm-hmm. to make
the
it fun.
The dice weighed in. They were like, hey, there's a majority for this obvious
it's a great. It's a great way to learn because if this person played D&D with you mm-hmm. and you put in a ton of work with it and then they said I don't like this game, that would suck. Instead
right.
you showed them a very simple rolling game and they're like, I hate rolling dice.
That no, is
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
right.
yeah,
that is a good call. I think that someone who's responds to that situation, either maybe they become a very different person when they're hungry, but
yeah
it also
it's pretty rude. Yeah, this was like, all pretty,
pretty
rude. Yeah, we're on yeah, your side. I think
on your side.
In the
I
future
the
don't
fiance
roll for food, but they were rude to you.
And actually yeah, the wedding when they say, does anybody have a reason why these two should not be wed?
Oh,
you can tell this story.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, play a clip of this. Hey, play this clip.
Yeah. yeah.
Just play them this. Start with the butt fighting and then end right here.
Yeah, just play the whole
that
episode.
That would be
it's
actually a really
gold.
Good chance for everyone to get indoctrinated into one is cum, two is poo, three is shit.
yeah, that's true. It's guerrilla marketing for those other players that are actually supposed to be on the news. We're doing a lot of the heavy lifting by being played at weddings around the country.
So I think that we're going to sentence the fiance to write that into their vows.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's like, yeah.
And by the way, what has come to is who? Mm-hmm. Through his
we have a little saying in our household. You write your own vows and like, you say it in unison with your partner. Like, one is cum, two is poo, three is pee.
yeah.
Forever shall we be wed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Forever shall we be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
three is
good.
P. You are for me. Yeah,
yeah,
that's nice.
That's
really
nice.
Good. Mm-hmm.
You're
this
holding
whole thing
hands.
Itself.
This is like a nice secular ceremony too.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. The DJ plays 20 minutes of D&D court.
and then leaves.
It's perfect.
It's going to be cheap is the thing.
It's going to be so cheap.
It's going to be really affordable.
Fine, I'll do it. I'll DJ the wedding. Oh, fine. I will DJ the wedding.
Finally, all of our career pivot has come to fruition.
Number one to fruition.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Kyle B. Kyle writes, to the stately judges and scruffy bailiff, In a recent campaign, I had a wizard university and a player that needed to pass an exam. Instead of a boring regular test, I had him try and pass a quiz show in the style of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Love it.
That's fun.
I even set up a quiz page using an online tool. The problem I had was when they stumbled during an early question, I let them off the hook with a history check roll.
Okay.
I also think that by sending them the link, we were playing online, they may have been cheating to get the correct answers. Mm. We were playing on the honor system. After they passed that initial answer, they ended up getting way further in the quiz than I thought they would and made a stupid amount of gold. Did I mess up?
What kind of test is this?
Did I make a mess up and not let them fail when I should have? I feel like if things don't have stakes, I'm doing a disservice as a DM.
No, this is the fun kind of mess up. I think really, really fun.
Right.
Although,
but they're asking if they made a mistake. And the answer, of course, is yes.
You know what? At the end of it, you panic and then you say, now the essay portion. Yeah. And then you make them write an essay. And if you don't do it, then you lose all the gold you got.
Yeah.
Right. At the end of every episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the contestants had to split their money with Regis, famously.
Whoa. I buy it.
It's true. Well, I mean, like, Regis just threatened to beat them up. It wasn't actually like...
Regis met them in the parking lot.
And say, how's 50% sound? And if they say no, he pushes you really hard. He says 60%.
It also seems weird. I mean, like, I understand the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing, but, like, they're at a wizard college. You don't have to pay them. Like, there's a lot of issues here.
They might have set that up and been, like, based on how many answers you get, you'll get gold.
Yeah, I think it's also, as fun as it is to do stuff like asking the players questions with their real world knowledge, it often doesn't work out for reasons like this. If you're gonna allow both, if you're gonna be like, you can roll a history check, but also you can just answer it if you know it, then that kind of confuses the mechanics.
In theory, the game probably should have been actually all about rolls, because that's how your players can not about roles at all.
Yeah.
Or not about roles at all. Just like any kind of quiz thing
is tough to do.
But
the only thing I would suggest is that they got a ton of gold now, but you're at college. Everything is more expensive. They mark up those books so much.
That's really
true. So you can just make everything super expensive.
Yeah, did they pay for parking at this point? I remember my car got ticketed or towed every other weekend in college.
Tuition's just a couple months away.
That's right. Yeah, boarding, dining hall. Are you kidding me? Credits at the bookstore.
You can get that money back. Yeah. You really can. You just got to think like a university.
Make them buy their armor or something like that.
Yeah. Start calling them every week and ask them for a donation.
I am an old wizard calling.
I am inclined to disagree with this player, though, because it seems like, from my understanding, they're playing online so that this person couldn't see if they were cheating. It seems like it's a wizard college, so they're wizard questions. So I think it's probably like actual, like maybe spell check adjacent, something where like they're like looking up spells, or they need to know components or like actual mechanics of a spell. I think they're just like going on D&D Beyond to cheat, and I don't like that. Like,
but here's another situation. I agree. But the DM said that they suspected that their players were cheating.
Yeah.
But that's, to me, I'm kind of like, why are you playing with a crew that cheats? Because wouldn't they just cheat on rolls too?
I feel like though, we've learned from some of these that some people don't really know that kind of etiquette.
Right. Because you're just maybe you're just hopping on with people online that you don't totally know well.
If they cheated, they at least didn't cheat in that first question when they stumbled and you helped them through. So I don't really understand, just because they got far after that, you're like, well, now they must be cheating. Because it seemed like they were
Maybe they just got stumped on the first one. Yeah, I'm kind of the opinion that if you think they cheated on this, why didn't they? I guess you could do like rolls in front of the table. You could do like roll 20.
I wonder if you could be like, hey, out of character, are you like Googling these questions? And then if they said yes, you could be like, cool, so you're like kind of cheating on the quiz, so you have to do stealth deception checks now. Check, you know, like rather than punishing them, if you just like added that into
I think
the
you just
game.
you gotta do the bar trivia thing. Instead of accusing them, just up top be like, no Google, no looking up anything. This has all gotta be your knowledge off the top of your head.
Yeah.
Emily, you've got the way of it. Like, there's like a certain acceptable amount of shaming at the table that you can do that like really kind of, if you put someone in the hot seat like that, where they're like, oh, yeah, I was. You're like, that's okay, but you're going to have to do stealth checks.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's going to have fun with that, I think.
And then that's kind of fun because you're like, ooh, I'm cheating on my exam.
Yeah.
I hope I get away with it. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of just like call it out.
It is true, though, that America has a problem and we have a deep moral rot in our society and we think cheating's okay.
There we go.
That was good. Wow. You know what? It's good. Let's
Jake,
keep it
around. You know what? God.
There's nothing like a perfectly timed wet fart, folks. That was actually the sound of me wanting.
Shit. Now you're just confusing everyone.
That's like when you play basketball and you say "and one." That's you coming because you made a basket.
You coming because you scored so good.
I'm playing so well that, I just "and one."
And one. Just imagining just shooting a three, swishing, and just yelling "and come."
And come.
What the hell was that? That seems like a Jake and Amir joke. Like Amir was,
yeah. I think so.
So stupid. Anyway, okay, I, so I think
who, do we
here's what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna stick with my knee jerk reaction, which is I think this DM knows that they fudged up a little bit with the creation of this by mixing the kind of real world knowledge with the rolling mechanics and everything. I will say that if we had known that the players were cheating, if we knew that, then I would side with the DM.
That's
but
why
for
I
now,
think
I'm going to say that I think this was just kind of a flawed premise.
That's why I think I have to abstain, because I don't know if the player was cheating or not. If they were cheating, fundamentally, they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
If they didn't cheat at all, then yeah, you made a little mistake, but it sounds like a fun one.
Yeah.
Sure. With the information we have, I do think I have to, not punish the DM, but like they deserve maybe a little slap for what they did. And I think what we need to do, we need to punish them by making them give them another test. But this test has fake information on it. And the fake information is about the new cum code.
What does it mean when you say one and done?
So you wish to ace the wizard's final so you might claim your place in the tower. Then answer me this.
If you wish to earn your robes, what bodily function does two correspond with?
So ordered, right?
So ordered, yeah.
I think we figured it out.
I think so. Hey there, Nadpoles. Did you know that about 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgot about? Truly, even if you think you have your number of subscriptions under control, you might as well check out Rocket Money. Just to be sure, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, folks. With Rocket Money, you got full control over all of your subscriptions and a clear view of those expenses. You can see all your subscriptions in one place, so if there's anything you don't want, Rocket Money will help you cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills lower for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They will deal with customer service and all those AI chatbots so you don't have to. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and it's saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions. That is saving their members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. Okay, our next case comes from Jack H. To the most badass justices and the little bailiff with his whittle badge. Thank you.
Aww. Wow. That's so cute.
The bailiff is
I am
so
a baby.
Cute.
I am a baby. We said it last episode.
It's actually not fair.
That's just true. A baby. You were on paternity leave for yourself.
Everyone leave Jake alone. Right. He's a little baby.
Yes. Jillian had a baby, but she actually always had a baby. I present the case of players versus riddles. Our party was at a magical tree that required us to solve a riddle to advance to the boss fight. The riddle went as follows.
Okay.
I cast a spell that affects the masses. I am the whisper you hear among the branches. When with many, I face scrutiny, but when alone, I've been mastered. I realized that the perfect answer to the riddle... Does anybody want to venture a guess?
Good
Wait,
Lord.
What is the context of the riddle?
Repeat the riddle again.
Yeah.
So they're at a magical tree, and they're required to solve a riddle to advance to the boss fight.
Okay, magical tree.
The riddle is this. I cast a spell that affects the masses. I am the whisper you hear among the branches. When with many, I face scrutiny, but when alone, I've been mastered.
I guess my first off-the-cuff answer would be mass suggestion, but I don't think that's right.
Oh, is it a spell? I was thinking in the area branches. Of like breath.
Oh wait, yeah. I don't know why I thought it was a spell. I'm still in spell check mode.
I'm in fart mode because I'm like pass
the
wind.
Fart.
Oh.
The fart. Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not that.
Murph, you're of the same mind as the plaintiff here.
Okay.
I realized the perfect answer to the riddle was a fart.
There we go.
It satisfied every line of the riddle.
Okay.
A fart is, in fact, a whisper that affects the masses, and it is scrutinized among others.
Yep.
Okay. Everyone knows a fart is mastered when alone.
Yes, an ass suggestion, if you will.
Mm-hmm. An ass suggestion, exactly.
An ass suggestion. Damn, Carly, you're on fire today.
You know, Onyx has that spell, and now it will only be that.
Yes, you are cursed. However, our DM did not accept this answer, and after an hour, he gave us a hint which led to the real answer, song. This brought the party into a frenzy, as we felt that fart was a more appropriate solution than a song. I eagerly await your ruling on if my better answer should have been accepted.
How does a song agitate the masses?
It's scrutinized by the masses.
How is it mastered if you're alone?
I guess because no one's judging you. You can like sing in the shower.
So it's like,
dance like honestly,
like no one's watching.
I think the song doesn't work for this riddle.
I think fart works a little better.
Mm-hmm, fart fits.
Yeah, fart fits, song doesn't.
And the fact that they worked on it for an hour, even after, I guess like this person immediately came up with fart. It was shot down. Then they worked for an hour, and then it was ultimately.
I think as a DM, you got to know when you're beat. You got to know when someone has like outfoxed you. And this probably got a huge laugh line. If you think about it for a second, it definitely works. I feel like D&D puzzles in general should have more than one solution.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Especially because a lot of times you're creating a random riddle. It's kind of just one little section that you're preparing.
Yeah.
You don't have the time to be like, this needs to be the most perfect riddle.
Riddles are also tough versus like, I don't know. I feel like riddle versus puzzle, I'd much more lean puzzle. I've done less of them since like campaign one because they can get a little bit, they're not always the best for audio just because everyone has to kind of stop and sit there and look
they're
for the
fun,
pattern
though.
And everything, but they are fun.
They are fun.
But I think it's
like a puzzle.
It's generally better to do a puzzle because a puzzle can be like, well, what's in the room with us? Go ahead and do a perception check. Okay, well, we find this thing. Well, maybe if we're able to weigh ourselves down with that thing, then we can get past this thing that's blowing this wind machine that would hurt us otherwise, you know? And it lets you gamify it versus something like a riddle where everyone just sits and stops and then just pitches answers to the DM.
Yeah.
I feel bad for having this opinion because this DM sounds like they're doing their best.
Yeah.
I think that song doesn't work.
Yeah.
I have a concern that like the villain they were going to face afterward was like a bard or something and it was going to be tied in.
I'm sure that could be why, but it also just, there's other ways you could have phrased it.
Yeah.
I bet mastering it by yourself, it doesn't click with me immediately in this moment.
I guess you would practice by yourself. You probably wouldn't go out and belt out when you're learning.
I feel
right?
like a riddle has to rhyme. I know it doesn't technically have to rhyme.
Yeah, that's right. We sentence this DM. Riddle has to rhyme. If it doesn't rhyme, it's not a riddle. Listen, sentence this DM to write 10 riddles that fucking rhyme.
Here's a good question. Did the DM make that up, or is this like a famous riddle and we're going to look like morons for...
Oh, yeah. Did fucking
Murph,
like Aristotle
you can't be worried
say this?
About us looking like morons.
No, this is
how
the one
long
time.
Have we been
this
doing
is the one time we've ever looked stupid.
This is the one time.
Every D&D court.
Yeah. This is actually in the player's handbook, Murph.
No one has ever questioned us. No one has ever thought any of our decisions were stupid. No one's ever.
On a brief Google search, it does look like nobody else says one for come. So that can definitely
be. That's us. That's us.
And also, this is not a famous riddle from what I can tell.
Okay. So we only look like morons for saying one for come, and we don't have to look like morons saying song doesn't work in this rhymeless riddle.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When you say come, it makes me feel alive.
Whoa.
Go on. Oh, that's cool. So that's a mambo number 5.
Yeah. You know, they can't all be hits. I said Caldwell's on fire before, but you got to cool off at some point.
Yeah. You gotta like douse yourself.
You
got to
cool off. It's NBA Jam. Right. Eventually you miss. Somehow that derailed me worse than anything else we've talked about. I fully forgot what we're just talking
I don't
about.
Know where I am.
I just started singing Mambo Number 5. It sort of had to do with the case we did at the beginning of the episode. There's a riddle, I think, that
there's
we don't
riddle.
Love.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to send you to the DM.
I was singing because the song is the answer to the riddle.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to send you to the DM to analyze the rhythmic structure, the rhyming of Mambo Number 5 and try to come up with better riddles.
The next riddle.
Try to replicate Lou Bega.
I think they also should just buy us some Texas Roadhouse.
I would love to try it.
It could be fun.
Or buy us a Texas Roadhouse. Like,
what better way to try it than by showing up to my own franchise?
And I actually know how we could make it even better is by having that Red Robin honey mustard.
That's great.
That's smart. That's
why don't restaurants do that?
Just steal each other's stuff.
They do. They definitely do.
They do. Yeah, remember all the fries used to be different, but now they're all kind of McDonald's.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
I think we got a rule against this DM.
Rule against the DM.
We're flip flopping on the farts because we like the fart here.
I know.
And it just shows that a well timed fart is fine.
Yeah.
You have to know. You have to be the judge. Yeah. And if you got it, you got it. And if you don't, you have to admit that you don't, and you shouldn't be making fart noises.
And if you come up with a riddle and other people have something that fits better, you gotta have the humility to be like, yeah.
Even if you hear that and you're like, oh, damn, like it's not fart, you have to know that like when it eventually comes out, everyone will be mad.
Yeah.
Caldwell said it. You have to know when you're beat. You have to know that like, all right, I've lost this.
Second I can sympathize with this DM, even though we're still arresting them. What are we doing to them? Sentencing
making them buy us a franchise.
Sentencing them to buy us a franchise. I can sympathize with being like, wanting this poetic riddle and being like, I can't pretend like I came in with this answer being
this
fart.
This is the moment when my NPC goes from super high status to a moron.
Yeah.
This is the moment where he goes, wait, no.
No, the answer is actually song, but fuck, song. The door's opening. The door's opening. Why is it working?
The door's my mouth.
Song. Oh. It's song. Oh, fuck. I hate that.
Yeah,
this
just
work.
Humiliating the Deku tree. It's always very fun.
Okay, cool. So ordered?
Yep. So ordered.
So ordered. And our next case comes from Kevin W. Kevin writes, fuck you, no intros.
I love it. Wow, we're all down in the dirt. We're all limboing.
Yeah, except Jock Hurwitz because he's a fucking dad now. Congrats. So thank you.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
He's a little
the
baby.
The paternity leave was for him.
He experienced a personal rebirth. Paternity leave for his parents to come back and have to take care of him because he's a baby.
Can you imagine some really hippie person being like, I actually need paternity
leave. I need
a baby
because
break. I'm like rebirthing myself.
I need to experience the childlike wonder so I can recapture my creative spirit.
So I'm going through a gestational transformation and I need 6 months off.
I'm going to be only eating milk for 6 months too.
It's kind of like I'm doing a lot of yoga and the Go Mad diet.
Gallon of milk a day.
You're invited to my birthing. Please bring a raincoat.
And yes, I'm wearing diapers. But that's just part of this process. The case of shield not shielding. I play an artificer in a long-running campaign. There was a cannon being fired from quite a ways away that was aimed at me. Ooh. The DM rolled to hit. I say I cast shield. He said I was unaware of the cannon being fired.
Huh.
I asked if it was a sneak attack cannon or if I had the surprise condition and didn't know. He said no, but it was fired from 300 yards away and there's no way I'd see it coming. Oh. Am I wrong for going, okay, then whatever, and having a slight salt for the rest of the session?
That's, okay, well, that might how be an I overreaction, I think. But were you in combat? Were they in combat?
It doesn't sound like it.
It sounds like maybe you could have had the surprise condition, but, they said, but the DM, said DM no. didn't know.
DM said no.
If you are, you know, a seasoned adventurer, you've got a spell that shields you, you hear a loud sound like that, I think you could argue that you would just throw it up. Like, if you hear a cannon, you're going to hear the cannon before you see it. You might throw up that shield just out of precaution.
Yeah, like, I feel like based on 4th of July alone, you have a reaction to loud noises.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. 4th of July rules.
Yeah, 4th of I'm July always rules. Throwing my shields up.
I could throw a shield up.
You waste all your spell slots on shield.
I could absolutely throw a shield up to a sparkler.
Yeah, if Murph's not wearing his thunder shirt, he's absolutely throwing a shield
there
up.
There you go. I think you were cheated here for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even look, rules is written, unless you have the surprise condition, you can take reactions.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's spell casting time is one reaction. To do an attack is an action. Reactions are faster than actions.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you were cheated.
I think it's pretty buttoned up.
I think you cheated too.
Yeah.
It sounds like that. This is what shield is for.
Yeah.
This is exactly what shield is for.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a rule against the DM.
I'm sorry your DM's choking because we buttoned up their shirt all the way. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
I think if there was a situation, I don't know that it necessarily all has to be by the book. Like, it doesn't have to be a sneak attack or something like that. Like, the DM can be like, do a perception check or whatever, because it can be, you know, I don't know. If somebody's got a bead on you and is shooting a fucking cannon at you from like a hidden position, you might not be able to react. You might not see it, even if, you know, the shot's obviously not going to be that stealthy.
Mm-hmm. I think if the cannon has a silencer on it, then that makes sense to me that you wouldn't
silencer.
Be able to.
It could have had a huge silencer.
Yeah, so I guess it's hard to weigh in, right? Because we don't know if there was a giant silencer.
I ask people to keep these cases brief, so they can't really explain if there were silencers on the cannon.
But you got to tell us. You got to tell us if there's a cannon silencer.
You have to tell us.
You have to.
The case is brief, but tell us if there's a silencer.
Yeah, whether or not there's a cannon silencer can really shift.
Yeah, if Agent 47 from Hitman was like screwing a giant silencer onto this cannon and aiming at you, let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you want to, like, I don't know, be homebrewy with this stuff, you do have to still make it make sense mechanic-wise, you know? I think they should have got a perception check, or that would have been the hard-ass thing to do.
Yeah.
It's
like,
they're up on a hill, you don't know where they're shooting from. Do a perception check to see if you even clock this coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That would have been the hard-ass version of it. I think it's bullshit to just be like, you get shot with a fucking cannonball and you're like a magic rogue or something. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. You can see that coming.
I will say,
that warning.
It sucks. Yeah, you're definitely wrong.
You can see that one. Yeah.
I don't like the okay, though.
Yeah.
Don't like the okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I think so. Let's sentence this.
See, DM. What I would do is I would be like, really, dude? And then I'd slam my hand on the table.
That's good.
And leave and take a huge shit. A huge number three.
number
two.
Right.
Number two.
Shit's number two. Yeah. Number two. Nothing changes still, about shit.
It's just, is exactly
it's just the same.
Same.
It's just swap. The
exactly
same.
The same.
Oh, yeah.
I say, I'll say, don't worry. It's number two. Two, not number one. Number one has come. And then I go to the bathroom and I blow up their bathroom and then I come back out and then I'm normal.
You can upper deck their toilet, but with a number one.
Oh my God.
Gunk up.
No.
Yeah, dude.
No. I can't abide this.
Yes, you should not do this.
Yeah.
This is one of those times where we say something you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Everything that we said up until this point is okay to do.
Yeah.
This is where we draw the line.
This is where we draw the line.
We have to step down for a second and say, hey, everybody, we're just kidding. Don't come in people's tanks.
Don't want.
Obviously.
Don't upper gunk.
Don't want in anyone's tanks, okay?
Upper gunk. Oh, we have to move on because I'm getting too amused and I know I have to grow up.
Upper gunk is sadly too good.
Yeah.
And now I do have to wholeheartedly endorse it. I'm kidding.
They're not going to notice for a while. We have to move on. Okay.
It's funny the way that the first question can just set tenor for... Yeah. Yes. Can completely poison the entire recording. Because if you're just... The whole first thing was about wet farts. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
And we never recovered.
And we stooped to meet it.
Yep. The well is venomous.
I shudder to think what we'll say on the short rest.
Patreon.com/snappod.
We'll probably just talk about Flintstones. Yeah.
All right, so what's the sentencing and the punishment here?
Maybe they can also buy us a Texas Roadhouse franchise.
Right, because we do need two. We have to test two markets.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what they can be? Yeah, that makes sense.
They can be the Red Robin Runners that supply us with the special honey mustard. That makes
sense. Okay, so they need to get a Red Robin bike.
Right.
So and we're then bike us over some of that honey
mustard.
It'd
be nice if we could do it illicitly because I would hate to pay Red Robin for the sauce.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like
there should be a mustard heist.
Yeah, okay. So they need to set up a honey mustard heist at.
And they walk out on the bill. They keep asking for extra honey mustard and leave. And then when they're banned from that Red Robin, they have to find another one further away.
Right.
Yeah. So it starts out like a pretty easy job, but it gets really hard once you're crossing state lines to go to a Red Robin.
When they complain about it, you say, you had no problem shooting cannons from so far away.
Thank you!
Okay, so ordered. You are our Robin Runner. Thank you for your service.
And we appreciate it. You're going to be banned from a lot of Red Robins, but it's going to be worth it.
But you're welcome at any Texas Roadhouse.
I'm picturing the Robin lights. Runners becoming its own successful business that we just start supplying.
The worst HBO show of all time. Robin Runners, based on a true story.
You're probably wondering how I got here. Me? I'm a Robin Runner.
$10 million an episode.
Jason Statham is the Robin Runner.
Wow, finally. Okay, so let's lower the lights here. We'll open up the stained glass.
Yeah,
and step into church.
We need to go to church, I think.
Cleanse me.
Our confession, we do need church. We need to be cleansed. It comes from Kai C. Dice Christ's advice. Is my son and campaign cursed?
Mm.
Okay. Oh. Kai writes, praise be to Dice Christ. I prostrate myself and ask for your advice. 2 years ago, I started my first homebrew campaign. At the same time, my wife and I had just welcomed our first son into the world.
Cute.
For fun, we had him roll the campaign's first dice. We had to have him hold it in his hand and wait for him to drop it. His first ever roll in his life, a nat 20.
Wow.
He took this as a sign of fortune, both for the campaign and my son.
I was going to say, this was an audacious move.
He got his 20s
out,
unfortunately.
I am far too superstitious to do something like this. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Well, 2 years later, the campaign is going strong.
Yeah.
My son is growing up beautifully. I write to you now and take us back to a time when we had just welcomed our second son into the world. The same day, Jake welcomed Gemma.
Whoa.
Nice birthday. May 11th. Let's go. To keep the tradition going, we had him roll a D20. His first ever roll, a nat 1.
Mm.
Dice Christ. I ask for your help. Is my campaign now set to fail? Is my son cursed like Murph? Does Dice Christ look favorably on one son and not the other?
Okay.
As a loyal servant, I will humbly wait for any advice you have and act any way I need to ensure my sons have a prosperous, dice-filled life.
I think that failure builds character, so it's not a bad sign if your son is rolling ones.
Yeah, Emily has an interesting take on when she's rolling to see who's rolling hot.
Mm-hmm.
She not only rolls to see who's rolling hot before we start, she rolls to see who's rolling interesting.
Oh.
So she takes out dice.
I roll my dice, and anyone that rolls me a 20 gets on deck, and anyone that rolls me a 1 gets on deck.
Yeah.
Because I think that both poles are the most interesting.
You got to have that spice.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you don't want is like a 5. You don't want a 5. That's no fun at all.
Yeah.
And ones you know what? You might have a little comedian, because ones are the funniest.
Yeah. Oh, you got a little
funny.
Yeah.
The ones are the funniest.
Most character. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You're also, what beautiful balance. You got a 20, you got a 1.
Yeah. It sounds like you got to just take it all together, and that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You're rolling interesting over there.
I think so. You're rolling interesting
over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two interesting kids. Congratulations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, and then I guess since this is Dice Christ, we will baptize your children with divorce.
Right. Here, hand me the baby.
We need you to sign so many waivers.
One of those like money tubes, but with dice.
We should make like soft little dice specifically for this purpose. Ooh, yeah. Like Nerf dice that you can use for baptizing.
For baptizing.
We could offer this service at our Texas Roadhouse.
Baptizing.
Baptizing.
It's really,
really hard to explain.
Really good.
Does this have anything to do with D&D? Sort of.
Hardly.
Is this religious? Sort of.
Truthfully, hardly.
Yeah. It really doesn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A joke on a joke on a joke, and we're losing grip on what this is.
Are you going to hand me your kid or not, sir?
This is the only thing that got us off of the cum code. Okay?
There's a line. There's a line.
You're asking a lot of questions for a man who hired me on Task Rabbit.
I bring my own dice. What more do you want?
All right. So forgiven. So
yes.
Forgiven.
So congratulated. Yeah, congratulations.
So congratulated.
Rolling interesting through
life.
You
got an interesting family.
You got to take the ones with the 20s.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
With that, we're going to wrap this one up. We'll have more bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
We are.
Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Jesus Christ. This is terrible.
They're singing.
Wow.
Dude, they sang.
Everyone, and quiet.
No.
Let's get some room tone.
Okay. Turn off the mics. Okay. Turn off the mics.
Don't do that. All right. I got some live shows.
Stop.
I got some live shows I need to bring up.
Oh, please do.
We're going to be in Minneapolis September 13th for Dungeon Court Live. Woof. Madison, September 14th.
Yes.
Milwaukee, so September exciting. 15th.
Oh, yeah, high fives.
Chicago for Dungeon Court Live on September 16th. Oh, yeah.
Two high fives.
Thank you for helping us sell out to Carnegie Hall. Then we're going to be in Los Angeles on October 26th
Let's
for Dungeon
butts.
Court Live. Sure. Denver on October 27th. Sacramento, October 28th.
Kick
Portland, sold out. Thank you. Las Vegas, November 10th. New Orleans, November 14th. Orlando, November 15th. And finally, Dungeon Court Live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Let's touch butts.
Ooh, let's touch butts and nothing knows.
November
17th. Also, since Milwaukee and Madison are coming up, I've never been to either of those cities.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess let us know in the comments if
some
there's
recommendations.
Any recommendations, because I'm so excited. I've never been
that's
to
right.
these
Yeah, we're coming
cities.
For your curds.
I want to drink some
for
beers.
Your curds.
I want to drink some beers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
I want
to
plug our shop. We don't talk about it nearly enough.
Yeah.
We have some really cool new stuff in there, as well as some restocks. The Two Crew hat is back in stock.
Oh, yeah.
The Pawpaw Law shirt, originally a Patreon merch club reward, is now in the store.
Ooh.
We have a beautiful Crick shirt. It's like a Crick tourism shirt. And we got the Pindergreens One Hell shirt, which I really, really love.
So cool.
It's a snazzy item.
And we have some other stuff we've been working on that we've gotten samples of, and a couple of them I'm wearing around the house all the time.
So, yeah.
So
I would say go ahead. I don't know if people use bookmarks anymore, but go ahead and bookmark.
Don't do that. Caldwell, what are you saying?
Make it your homepage.
Actually, that's fun. Yeah, do that.
Make it your lock screen,
anymore.
Dude.
Yeah.
Nadpod.com/shop.
Right on.
All right. With that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at ThMersMe, at Caldis Caldwell, at AskForDemily, and at Chico, which is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag Nadpod. That's NADDPOD.
We already sang. We already sang the song. We already sang.
I can't sing.
We already sang the song.
Okay, and scene. Okay. Power, press stop.
Right, okay. Dungeon, 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 dungeon. Ooh, folks, it's the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Owl, Daniel G, Dylan Bays, Katie G, Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little sexual, Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beard Man Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, aka Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, D,
Danny Danster, TJM, Trele the Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Beep Boop, Double Shadow, the star of Homeward Bound 3, Princess Yar, Michael L, Simon the Archer, Jack L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, not currently starring in anything, in solidarity with the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, solidarity, Nicholas. Samuel B, Mike H, Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Hadrian, Rex Daniel, The White, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, The Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, Hashtag CCC Forever, Shout Out to My Fairy Followers, Taylor B, The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Victoria M, Callie's Nail Artist and Gossip Buddy, see you in Chicago. All right, see you there. Jake L, Nick W, Swashbuckling Swag Snagger, William W, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klasowski de Rolo III, Item, The Simple Dimples, J. Dragonborn, Vincent Thrum, As You Are, Daniels, The Sandrayan, Ben A, Dave H, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Dustin S, Danny F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfar's Assistant, Izzy F, DPC Is Awesome, Sean, The Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose, a.k.a. Grantaire, Cat C, Misa of House in Zunsa, Ariel, the occasional mermaid, who will be sitting front row center at the 5th anniversary show, chanting, Murph, 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 Murph. I'll be chanting right alongside you, Ariel. Selena N, a.k.a. Velaciraptor, B, Perky, always, Pat L, Savexel, Maxwell J, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, Annie M, Faye Fluffs, the fluffiest of Arch Fay, Melissa, Ball Business Illustrator, insert request. Ooh, this is a very specific one, but I would love to see Duck Team doing the cover from Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo. There's a very famous illustration from Akira Toriyama that they used for the cover of the Super Nintendo video game. Would love to see Duck Team doing that pose. Thanks. Ploops! Carly A, Connor S, Salil, Leviathan, BioQuirt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack Hubert, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Afriex, Lindsay W, Steel Birdie, Tweet Tweet, Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Noah, the Bagel of All Things, James G, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Daddy Master Dandy, Eric B, Marcos, Learns, the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed, Faye Prince, Until Halloween 2023, stay tuned. We are tuned in, do not worry, Pagos. Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Maggie S, see you in Chicago and Las Vegas, hell yeah, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leia C, Hunter H, Maybe, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Andrew, Crick Planeswalker, Doofinius, Cal, just Cal, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Cody Care, our friend Simon, still trying to make friends in the Silver Serpent's dreams, but is Om Nom Nom a good sign or a bad one? Keychains, Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kyra, her busty queen. Matt M., your friendly neighborhood, Yant and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid, see you in Minneapolis. Hell yeah, see you there.
John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier manager of Bohemia, who has gotten promoted due to her superb service to Simon. James F., Jimmy A., M4L., Austin S., Knight of the Living Falster. Wayfarer, who has now settled into their new life in the Fey Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Shane C., Barpo Goodbarrel Barbarian. Mary Beth C., see y'all in Chicago and NYC, the double feature we love to see it. Contender in the making, Welshlander. Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd. Mr. D., Talisman, the man with the lucky charms for you. Hell yeah, hand him over. Dana the Daisy. Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain. Gabriel W., Box Clifton, the once and medium king. Olivia, the enchanting bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows. Yeah. Winter Slade. Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is like a box of Martha Togold's sticky buns. Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat. Thrath, the demon lord of spite. Anthony, the raddest of dudes who secured his Carnegie Hall tickets for himself and his lovely partner Josh, the finest of dudes. Josh H., Mango Empanadas, Clementine T., Caleb L., Fairy Followers Say Hi! Hashtag Calder Will Come Cold Again. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian. MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea. Dogs of Babel. Mr. Meowski. Gino T., Mama Bell, the silver serpent herself. Funir, Sinat Spell, the wizard. Derek D., Tristan, the talentless hunk, Mios, the great, Alex K., Joshua P., Joshua S., Alexander, Linz W., Angel of Pamela Sandra Rita, as this continues, you know he's getting sweeter, Emma S., Red, the reforged warforged, the godly king, a cat usually basking in the sun, enjoying the soothing sounds of Nadpod, Hard One's hot, Hump Gunk. Shell B, yes, that singer from the Sprite Girls who is headlining this year's Fairy Fire Festival. You know I'm there day one. Stale Bread on Salad, a.k.a. Crouton. Jackson R. Tur Hex. Michelle. Andrew S. Nova B, the Deathcore Bard. Caitlin D. Z-Borb. Blake H, Big Bev's Bestie. Lloyd, the rat that controls my cerebellum, Appa Remy from Ratatouille style. Shelby C. Papa Skydays. Meemaw Skydays. Tommy W. Mike and Lisa excitedly scoring tickets for all of NADPOD's Midwest Tour. Can't wait to see you all. The quadruple crown. You are heroes. Haley the Human. Megan N. The Big M. John Fraser, the Dicelander. Stephanie of House in Zunza. Jake's Ramen Shop. Tracy P., Karjish, Benjamin A., and Sacrificial Otaku, pin name for Callie's cousin, who discovered anime and is trying to spread it all over the world of Bohemia. Good luck in your quest, and thank you so, so much to all of our elders for supporting us. If you would like to join this illustrious council, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. That's all for me. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you here next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.